So I'm just so blessed you're here. You could have been a lot of places today, but you're here with us. So please, let's stand up and stretch for a minute and honor and welcome our teacher this morning, Pastor Tom Dale.
I want to have Casey play a DVD for us. The point of the DVD is that the Lord can come and get you wherever you are, in the midst of whatever you're in. There is nothing that can separate you from Him. If He wants to get you, He's going to get you. Okay? I don't care if you're unwilling. Because I know, because sometimes I've been unwilling. And He's had to make the effort to come and get me, but He's done that. And so I just enjoy this.
Denver, Colorado was a location where we smuggled in narcotics. Girls, we had a massage parlor. We had a lot of stuff going on in Denver. Red oversaw that versus me being in Tokyo and Japan. And Red gave called me from Denver to Tokyo and started talking strange. You know, he wanted to close up shop. Basically, he wanted to do the last dope deal. He wanted to just stop. And he had a Bible in his hand. This is the way, this Bible. This is how we can do it, man. I don't know how to do what you're talking about. I don't even want to do that, man. I don't. And so I said, well, you know what? Let's conclude the dope deal for today, and we'll talk about this later. With Red, it was no later. I get in the car in the back seat with the Colombians. I knew these guys. We had been doing business before. So I really didn't feel my whole attitude was coming from Red, you know, his trip about changing our life with the Bible, you know, that thing. So I was like, ah. So anyway, as we was driving along to pick up the money, they saw me not paying attention. The bullet disintegrated my jawbone, cracked my skull, went through my ear canal. And I grabbed the gun, boom, he shot me again. And, you know, the bullet went through my nose quickly, through the roof of my mouth, down my throat, hit my spine. So now I got a death grip on his hand because he, you know, my spine has just been, and I'm paralyzed with holding the gun. So now he's trying to get his hand loose and they pull in the car over. So the other guy take out a knife, I guess to, I don't know what that was about, but anyway, they went to stabbing me and stabbing me and stabbing me, stabbing me 16 times in the area that, you know, over the seat. So most of it is all in my head and the upper part of my body to, I guess, break this grip I have or to make sure I die or whatever, but he's stabbing me. They threw me out of the car. The terrible thing about that was that I was conscious. All that I am is there, right there in my face. The little boy, full of insecurities, full of addictions, full of hate, full of everything. You know, I guess if you ever really look inside yourself, you wouldn't like what you see. So there I am, you know, stuck with this big old nothing. 911, the paramedics showed up, and they pronounced me dead at the scene from loss of blood. And then when they continued the examination, they classified it a murder, and they called it in. And they said, he's DOA. You know, he's already dead. You know, by the time we get to the hospital, when we arrive, he's still going to be dead. So that's dead on arrival, that sort of thing. Which, you know, when the prosecutor came in, he had to know that I was dead to charge this man with murder. I'm at the hospital, you know, they cutting me open. I still have the autopsy scar. You know, they cut me open, crack open my chest, you know, that kind of thing.
The next call that I got was from Denver General Hospital, the emergency unit. And they were calling me, asking me, was my name Carol Moses? And that was I the fiance of Isaiah Reed? And I assumed that that was his name. And so I said, yes. And they said, come to find out, Isaiah had been shot twice in the head and stabbed 16 times. He was pronounced dead on arrival.
The prostitutes are there. the police officer and the prosecutor attorney. Here's his mother's number. Call him. So now my mother get the call from the doctor. No, my son is not dead. Let me pray for him. So he says, you know what? You know, what's going to happen when you pray? She said, if nothing don't happen, then you can do what you want. But put my voice over the intercom because my son, my baby know when I pray. Anyway, my mother begins to pray, call on God, ask God to fulfill and remember her, you know, his handmaiden. You know what I mean? Talking in tongues. Now they really think she's hysterical. You know, they think she's crazy. But God answers. 3 years later, 1989, this around Christmas time, December 27th, we having another drug deal, selling dope, prostitutes. I'm shooting heroin in my neck. I'm trying to get high and make my money. And one of the prostitutes just start tripping, what we call here in America, tweaking, you know. I want to kill myself. I'm tired of life. You don't love nobody kind of thing. I said, you know what, you need to chill. Paul, he's there. He's saying, man, you need to help or we're going to get busted. And I try to give Lisa some money. She slaps the money out of my hand. I try to give her some cocaine. She slaps the drugs out of my hand. The only thing I can do now is to, you know, knock her out, punch her in her head. So I try to get Lisa to come closer to me, and I draw back my fist to punch her. And as I get ready to swing, all of a sudden I say, let me pray for you. You know, where that, what is that about? And Paul said, pray? Man, you must be really high. I want some dope, make you pray. Break out the staff. But when I said pray, Lisa calmed down. I mean, she got quiet as a church mouse. But I said, maybe she's running the game, you know, so just to humor Lisa, let's pretend like we praying. Come on, Paul. Paul says, well, I know what you're supposed to do. Close your eyes. I said, close my eyes. Last time I closed my eyes, I got shot in the head twice. You close your eyes. So he said, well, let's hold hands. I said, hold hands? I said, yeah, let's hold hands. He said, hold hands. I said, yeah. He said, man, you done got queer? I said, who dope is? He said, okay, let's hold hands. So we begin to hold hands, and they looking at me getting frustrated. I'm trying to figure this out. And all of a sudden, I begin to talk to the Lord. You know, in my own language, nothing religious. I'm saying, check this out. You know, Lisa's down here tripping, you know. Maybe it's the dope, I don't know. But, you know, you need to give her a chill pill so she can chill. And, you know, we don't want to interrupt what you're doing upstairs, but you're the man upstairs. And it's around Christmas time. This is your thing anyway, jingle bells, you know, that kind of thing. Whatever you can do for us at this particular time, we really appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you the man, right? And we're signing off kind of a thing. And next thing I know, God called me by name. Isaiah, what about you? I'm like, I must be tripping. So I think somebody's playing a game on me. So I'm looking around the room. I'm looking at Paul. I said, did you hear that? He's like, come, are we finished yet? What's happening? And I'm looking at Sheila. She's still tweaking. But Lisa, she's just as quiet as church mouse. I said, man, this is crazy. Isaiah, what about you? What about your life? You need anything? I'm like, no, I don't need. You know, this was about Lisa. You know, I'm cool, you know. He said, no, you got a lot of things going on in you. Don't you know you can be free? I said, I'm not in bondage. I'm cool, man. I just want to do my thing. But we're talking. And then all of a sudden, something in me, a little boy cries out, help me. Don't leave me like this. Don't leave me like this. Next thing I know, we're not standing. We're on the floor crying, weeping, repenting, asking for forgiveness, saying how sorry we was. I mean, we're mopping that floor up with our tears. I mean, it's a shameful thing. Two dope dealers, two prostitutes screaming and crying. But the peace and the love of God is just cleansing and flushing the stuff out, washing and just changing me.
We all need to let that little boy that we have cry out, and he'll answer. The point of what I wanted to share was put your worst out there in front of him. We all want to parade our
faith out in front of the Lord, and our faith don't mount a squat when it comes to Him. We want to parade our works, our teaching ability, our witness, our worship. And if we're not real careful, our pride will take us down. If we can't put our worst out there, He really won't have much to do with us. The Lord came and got that man in the midst of a mess. And he refused to cry out. And, you know, thank the Lord for his mom, who would stand in the midst of what I would call impossible looking circumstances. And then 3 years later, what's he doing? And you know, if I was God, I'd say, you had your shot. You know? I don't know if you were here when I taught on family, but before I came out, I felt like I was wearing clothes that weighed 1,000 pounds. And I've never felt quite like that before. And I didn't quite know what to do with it. And I just felt like he was trying to impress upon me the importance of family. And so I tried to listen to that CD. It was a couple weeks ago, and I got 20 minutes into it, and I said, I can't listen to that mess anymore. Because I felt like I had done such a poor job of teaching. I mean, really. Because I didn't feel like I could convey the heart of a father. The true heart of a father. The true heart of who he is and his compassion for us. His compassion for us. Well, I mean, if you can watch something like that and think that you've got something in your life that can keep you from deliverance from your God, then I don't know what's going to get to you other than Jesus. And if you need an encounter like that, well, hopefully you won't get shot in the head and stabbed 16 times, but if you need an encounter like that, Jesus is still in business. Because there's some stuff in this world that we don't know how to deal with in the flesh. Okay, Romans 7. Who better to tell it than the Apostle Paul? Romans 7. Well, Jesus probably could have. Yeah, he might have been able to speak a few words on it. But Paul's speaking about himself in Romans 7. And starting in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I don't know how. I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. This is Paul. See, if we're afraid to go here to expose ourselves out there, there's something that in doing that allows him to work in us. And we can't let pride keep us from going there. I've never shared this from the stage before because I was ashamed. There was a time that I was preaching up here. And I felt like that the presence was so strong that if I touched anyone, they'd be healed. But the fear of man excused me right out of that situation. You know, I didn't know how to say, well, I believe if I touch you today, you'll be healed. I didn't know how to say that without, that was that false humility, I don't know what the heck you want to call it, from the enemy that kept me that day from reaching out and touching. At least to the extent that he wanted it to happen. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I want you to know that we all go through times where we fall short of what he wants us to do. And yet after that, he still let me preach. He's an amazing Lord. And he's an even better Father. We need to let Jesus show us the heart of a father. That was his purpose, to come here to put his Father on display. So we need to continue to ask for that revelation, because we're not going to receive that goodness that he is if we keep allowing our unworthiness to be what dictates what we do. Because really, in the bottom line, that's probably what kept me from saying, hey, I believe today that the presence of the Lord is so great that if you want me to impart that to you today, I think you'll receive your healing. So I apologize to you and to Jesus and my Father. But you know what? He'll give us another shot. So whatever you got in you that you want to get rid of, that you want to expose to the Lord, you don't have to expose it to me. You don't have to expose it to your husband. You don't have to expose it to your wife or your best friend. But you need to expose it to Jesus. If you got something, you want to just come up here and walk, just walk right through here and just leave it right here. Fine, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to come up here. I'm just going to walk through here, and I'm going to leave it right here. Right here, Jesus. And don't be afraid to take some action today. Because we all have areas in our life that we need exposure to Jesus. If you feel like you need to stay here for a second, that's okay. Stay here. You don't need, it's not something you need to rush through. But I want to come into a better understanding of what it means to glory in my weakness. That Christ can, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, we're just going to start in verse 1. Actually, I need to stop here. We thank you, Lord, that you came after us in all of our weakness. And as we learn to put that up in front of you, in our weakness, will be made strong. That whatever we give away and that we surrender to you, we surrender to you, you're able to make strong so that the witness that we now have will glorify you. The strength that we now walk in glorifies you and your kingdom. I didn't even think about Jesus' face being down there, and I walked by it and I thought, oh gosh. But see, Jesus' face is what we need to look at. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. It says right before, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. You know what it says right before that in Hebrews 12, I think, 1? It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily. See, what? I didn't even think about this. That's what we're doing here. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. Lay it aside, the sin and the weight, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to know that God's not afraid of your sin and your weakness. But sin is an enemy. But he sent Jesus to take care of that problem, to defeat that problem, right? Yes. talks in Romans 5. We'll get back to Corinthians maybe. I don't know whether we will or not. Romans 5. That we've been justified. And I'm sure somebody out there can spew out to me what justified means. What's it mean? Just as if I never sinned. What? By what? How? By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. Just as if I'd never sinned. Oh my. That's Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I need somebody to pull out that white. Don't laugh at my artwork. This weekend I was really blessed. I got to be justified in the fact that I don't dance. Because there's Bill Johnson was talking about white men can't dance, and he said, I might as well just tell you this story, the whole context of why he was talking about it. He was talking about how much a father loves us, how much the father really loves us and cares for us, and how if we come into that understanding, we'll walk in more freedom and deliverance, and we won't be afraid to go to him and ask for our wants and allow him to care for us. And he was at a family gathering, and his family loves square dancing, and he doesn't want to part. I kind of felt that I'm the same way. I don't feel like I can dance. I feel like I look like a fool. How's that? And we get right down to the honest why of it is, Bill says he has no rhythm. I don't know that I would say I have no rhythm, but I don't know that I have enough rhythm that I wanted to put it on display. How's that? So he's at this family gathering, and they're dancing, and his daughter comes up and says, "Daddy, would you dance with me?" And he says, "Why, sure, honey." See, if an earthly father can be moved like that, I'm sure Bill's a good dad, but he's not nothing like the Heavenly Father that wants to come and be with us and put pleasure on our face and in our heart just with his presence. That's what he wants to do. You can come up while I'm talking if you want. I don't care. Your heart is more important than my message. So whatever you need to do to take care of your heart today, if it's come back up here again, and that's fine. I didn't know how in the world I was going to talk about this stuff today. Because sometimes you just feel so inadequate. You think you have an idea of the message inside of you, but you don't know how to get that message out of you. We'll go down here to this board here, my artwork. Romans 5, well, we're going to start in verse 12. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, this is the world here, and by one man, Adam, sin entered. So this is our dwelling place. We were born here, right? By our flesh. Did we have a choice?
No.
Now, can I say, I don't want to live here?
No.
And say, by my will, get out of there? I mean, I can talk about it, but I can't get out of there. That's a prison, people. That's a prison that we were born into in the flesh. And I cannot say that I'm not a sinner anymore. I don't want to live here. Right? I could say that, but it's not going to get me out of there. Well, the Father sent Jesus, who came in with a lifeline, offered us a way out to another kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. That's in Colossians 1:13. We have an opportunity to grab a hold of that lifeline that Jesus has sent out to move to this kingdom. Once we've been moved to this kingdom, can I now say, I no longer belong here in this kingdom? I want to move back to the other one. Yeah, how am I going to get there? Unless you put the work of the enemy above the work of Jesus. What has the redemptive work of Jesus done for us? Where does it allow us to live today? In the midst of our weakness and sin. See, when we moved here, we moved into a whole nother kingdom where all of God's promises are yes and amen to Christ, right? But when we moved here, we carried our flesh with us. So we still need help. Right? We still need help. We still need help. Well, Jesus still has that lifeline out to us. And the reason I'm talking about this is I asked the Lord this weekend how I could talk about what was the counterfeit to his grace. There was somebody that talked about counterfeit this weekend. I don't know if you remember or not. He talked about to all of God's good things, there's a counterfeit. Because the adversary doesn't want, the devil doesn't want, the enemy doesn't want us to receive the good things from God. So he figures out a counterfeit. And the counterfeit for a lot of people today, a lot of us today, is our inability to receive his grace. Because we have a misconception that grace won't pull us out, but allows us to slide back in. Yeah. That's what religion has done with the gospel of grace. It has undermined it. You know, you'll hear statements, and sometimes I'll make them. Grace but. Oh my. Grace but what? Grace and truth came by Jesus. Those that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. Receive abundance of grace. Now, there'll be people that you'll hear talk about you receiving too much grace, so it allows you to slip back in. But the grace of Jesus brings us out. It's our lifeline to live above this world. It talks in Galatians about you're being fallen from grace, right? It talks about that in Galatians. If you're moved by works, moved by the law. You've fallen from grace. That's what it talks about. When I started to think about it as that lifeline, it really helped my head. It really gave me a picture of really what he is trying to do for me. It's kind of like, and this may not be a good analogy, but it's kind of like if you had an area in your city that was really crime-ridden, you'd send a lot of police officers in, wouldn't you? And the goal is to protect the people, right? That's what this, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Why? Not to make sin okay. Joseph Prince makes this statement. And I like to reference his quotes, not because I want to lift him up, but I want you to know that a lot of this stuff isn't me. I just want you to know that there's some guys out there that say some pretty good stuff. And I like this line. He says, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin is not something we want. But we don't want to preach sin above the redemption of Jesus. It's not that I'm afraid of sin. I want you to glory in Jesus, not in the power of sin. We've been redeemed. So that's why we shouldn't be afraid to bring our worst out there in front of him. Right? Yeah, we got nothing to fear. We got a complete Savior who completely redeemed us. Not partly, but totally, wholly, freely. Yes, amen. Our inability to put stuff in front of him comes from our pride and our fear. Like my not wanting to display my dancing. It's only because I don't want you to see how foolish I look. Really? Really? Well, he don't care. He don't care. He don't care. Remember Tanya did that teaching a couple weeks ago? It doesn't matter. Well, it's not like it doesn't matter what we do in life. That's stupid. She didn't mean that at all. But our weaknesses don't matter. Paul talks about, how's he get out? He said, oh, wretched man that I am. When he was doing that, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I do want to, I can't do. And all that mess. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? I think maybe we ought to read that verse. Where is it? Romans 7. Oh, wretched man, verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? Excuse me, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Excuse me. Chapter 8, there is therefore, verse 1, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life. What? Let's read this together. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. What? Free. Free. Free from the law of sin and death. Free from the law of sin and death. Back to Corinthians, and I better wrap it up. Was that 2 Corinthians 12, I think? And I was going to read this whole chapter, but we better not. I seem to, like, when I start reading the verse, I can't just not preach on it. So I have to work on that. I think it's important, though, that you read the whole chapter sometime, you know, and pay attention to really what Paul is saying. He had reason to glory because he was shown some great things. But then he got shown what he's supposed to glory in. Verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. That was him that's in the first part of this chapter, okay, that he's talking about. Got caught up to heaven in paradise, that kind of deal. It's a big deal. But he said, lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations given, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now I want to tell you this. What does it say? The messenger of who?
Satan.
Now, I want you to get this. The messenger of Satan came and presented Paul with this continually, okay? Now, this is an opportunity for victory to overcome, or it's an opportunity to succumb. It all depends on how we think in life. When he throws up a thorn in the flesh, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to use it to push you up a little higher? And sometimes I just think about that sticking a thorn right in my butt, just lifting me up just a little bit. I know it wasn't really a thorn, but, you know, that's what I need to be moved higher. I need to be lifted up, and the devil's giving me an opportunity. Yeah. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And here's Paul. He's had a lot of victories in life. Thinking, what the heck is going on here? I'm sure he's thinking that. And he said unto me, the Lord said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I was going to go to Saul and David. Saul got confronted in his mistakes, and he didn't repent. He said, the people made me do it. It was the people. It wasn't me. I really wanted to do what the Lord said, but the people didn't want to do what the Lord said. So I said, okay, people, you have, instead of listening to the Lord, right? Well, the same thing happened to David. David really messed it up. David had made, he had a bad day. He had a lot of bad days. And he really screwed it up. And the father sent Nathan the prophet. And Nathan, you know, told him a story about taking this sheep out that really wasn't, and somebody coming and killing the sheep because he didn't have an own sheep. He had his own sheep, but he didn't want to kill his own sheep. So he took this other guy's sheep and killed it. And David says, well, who is that guy? I'm going to take care of this situation. And Nathan says, it's you. It's you. And he says, whoa, I've sinned. Now, there were consequences of that sin. I don't understand all that story. I'm just going to tell you that. I don't understand all that. I'm still asking the Lord for revelation on how to speak about some of that stuff that I don't understand. But it's okay not to know everything, okay? Yeah. I don't want to be like God anyway. I don't want to be thought of as the guy that has all the answers. That's a lot of pressure there. You know that? You think you got all the answers. That's a lot of pressure to think you got all the answers all the time. When you know you don't know much, it's not a big deal because, you know, it's okay. But David repented. He wasn't afraid to say, that was me, and I messed it up. And God had promised earlier in that story that he wouldn't take away his mercy from David's family, from that line. See, it all depends on how we handle our messes, how we handle our weaknesses, what do we do with our sin? Do we hide it? That's kind of dumb, because he knows about it anyway. You can't hide anything from him. We can hide from people for fear of man. We can do that. But see, a lot of times men don't need to know all of our business anyway. And no, I don't want to know all your business. I'm honest. I don't want to know all your business. I want us to help each other get to the face of Jesus so that we can walk in freedom, because there's liberty there. There's liberty in Christ. There's freedom in Christ. And there's victory. Victory in Christ. I hope I've left you with that there is hope. No matter where you are in life. Oh, one more verse. John 1:16. John 1:16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Now I have to tell you that these notes came out of Bollinger Bible. Grace for grace. Grace in place of grace. New grace. Continuous and unintermitted. Ever fresh grace according to the need. In other words, the supply never runs out. He's never going to stop throwing the lifeline. He's never going to stop. It reminds me of Peter and getting out of the boat. And Jesus extended his hand and saying, oh, you need help. You need help. He's not afraid of helping us. He's not afraid of extending his hand to us. We're not going to get him dirty. He extended his hand to the leper and healed him. His blood will cleanse us. It's a continuous process. Ask the Lord for more revelation on his goodness and his ability to save. Lord, we just thank you for that, for just more revelation on who you are, your desire to rescue us from any situation in life, from any place of despair that we have been in our heart, from any sense of loss of purpose that has come to distract us to the point where we don't think we're worthy to carry the cross. But you've made us worthy. Help us to be willing participants in the journey with you. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christian Family Fellowship Ministry would like to thank you for listening to this recording of our Sunday service. If you would like to partner with us in your giving, you can go to www.cffm.org and use the Give tab, or you can use your cell phone and text to give at area code 937-502-2999. All donations to Christian Family Fellowship are tax deductible. If you'd like to receive free CDs of our weekly service, you can register on our webpage under the Contact Us tab. They are also available as a podcast on iTunes, or you can download them or listen to them on our webpage. Thank you for your generosity and support for the broad efforts of Christian Family Fellowship Ministry, as together we bring God's Word and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to our world.